I know we got a lot going on this morning, so I'm going to do my best to adjust things, but I want to start by saying good morning and welcome, because I'm learning I don't get to do that with everybody in the mornings, and I want to make it a point to do that. So, good morning, welcome. I see familiar faces, but I see a lot of unfamiliar faces too. So if you're a guest, welcome. I'm just glad to have everybody here. I want to talk today. We're going to start through the book of Romans, and I'm going to work a little bit these next few Sundays on doing a little bit of a sermon series through the book of Romans. And I chose Romans for a few reasons, and a couple of those reasons are, one, the book of Romans, if you don't know, has sparked some of the, probably the greatest revivals in the history of Christianity. In Martin Luther's study of the book of Romans, that actually sparked the Great Reformation. And John Wesley, in his study of the book of Romans, sparked the great Wesleyan revivals. So another reason is it's a book that I don't think you can study it and look close at it without feeling and being drawn closer to God. And so for me personally, that's important. And I think as a church, that's important as well. So as we look through the book, I expect and I pray and I hope that we will all be drawn a little bit closer to Christ in all this. But part of studying the book of Romans is we need to do a little bit of background on the Apostle Paul. Now, I know a lot of this is probably common knowledge or old news to you, to most of you, but just in case it isn't, the Apostle Paul, as we know, was not part of the original 12 disciples. But what qualifies him as an apostle, not being part of the 12, is that scholars today, because he saw the resurrected Christ, that is why his writings, his teachings, all that are included in the scriptures today with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, all them guys. Because he saw the resurrected Christ. And in Acts chapter 9, we see a little bit of that where Jesus confronted Paul. And at that point, his name was Saul. And Jesus says simply, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And for 3 days afterwards, Saul, who is now Paul, was blind, couldn't see. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, God sends Ananias to talk to Paul. And he says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel.'" You see, God chose Paul to spread his word. And right before this great transformation of Paul, he was out persecuting Christians, having them arrested, thrown into prison, wrongfully accused of things, simply because they proclaimed Christ as their Lord and Savior. God chose somebody who was completely working against him to further his kingdom. So the next time somebody or something pops into your mind and you're reminded of some things in your past that you've done that you're not real proud of, just remember that you belong to Christ and God forgives and forgets those things. If he can forgive and forget what Paul did in his past, I guarantee you he can forgive and forget anything in your past. We all belong to Christ and we cannot forget that. And if that doesn't get you fired up to spread the gospel, to share Christ with others, I really don't know what will. But I'm going to read right now Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Christ. Now, in a minute, we're going to go back to that part about faith. But Paul starts this, the book of Romans, by giving his credentials, by saying a little bit of his past and who he is. And I think a lot of the scholars, and I do agree, part of the reason for that is that they didn't have last names back then. So they used their credentials, some things of what sets them apart, because I'm sure there was a lot of Pauls back then. So Paul is sort of putting his stamp on the book of Romans. And in doing so, you can get that Paul knows how important it is that this word gets to the book of Romans and that his stamp is on it because people knew him. If you go from transforming from someone who persecutes Christians to probably one of the most enthusiastic, great But Paul, so you know these people know this guy. You know they know him. And so they're going to pay attention to anything that he sends to them. So that's why his stamp's on it for one reason. But Paul wants to get the word to the church in Rome because Rome is such an important city at this time in the culture. It's growing. It's trade going in and out. You can't travel in that area without going through Rome in one way or another. So Paul knows that he needs to get the word there and he needs to make sure the church in Rome, the Christian church in Rome, is spreading the gospel appropriately. So this letter to Romans, it's Paul's heart being spilled out. And he painstakingly goes through a lot of different things as he goes through the book of Romans. But you can't help, and I think that's why you can't help but draw closer to Christ, because it's Paul's heart. It's what Paul's life is about being spilled out. Now, we can also read in there how we were chosen by Christ. And part of when you're chosen, we've given our lives to Christ, we start this journey in our lives. And we're all on this journey. Some of us are new, probably. It doesn't matter to Christ, to God, where we're at in our faith journey, whether we're a spiritual giant or just beginning our journeys. And when we travel, we all travel at different paces. Like I said, it doesn't matter to Christ how fast you travel or how slow. And any time we go anywhere, that's the case. You know, we can travel by bus, plane, car, train, walk, jog, bicycle, however. But in all those forms of travel, they all travel at different speeds. Even if we're all traveling by car, if all of us get in our cars and go to the same place, I guarantee we're all going to get there at different times. Because even in the same mode of transportation, we travel at different speeds. And our job as a body is to help people along. In our journeys, in any journeys, we hit bumps along the road. But our job as believers is to help each other to get there. Whether it's quick or slow, it doesn't matter. Our job is to help each other along in these journeys. And part of being on this journey together as Christians, our journey, and the journey I'm talking about now is that is drawing closer to Christ. Part of that journey is showing Christ that, yes, I give you my life, and that we need to be in communion with Christ. And so that's why today we're going to share in communion together. And for me personally, it's important as to how we do communion today. And we're going to do it a little different than I think it's been done here in the past. Partly because I think the way we're going to do it represents our journey to Christ, to the cross. But when we take communion, there's a few things that I think are important that we need to talk about. And one of them is that our heart is right with Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 28. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So I know I personally can't do communion without examining myself and thinking of my life. Is my heart right with Christ? And I pray that each and every one of you will do that. And in a minute, we're going to have prayer. And if your heart's not right, please make it that way. Recommit your life to Christ. And maybe there's some of you here today who have never given your life to Christ, and that's okay. But maybe now's the time. And it's simple. When we pray, just ask Jesus, Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. It's that simple. Faith leads to obedience. We saw that way back. We saw that in verse 5. Faith leads to obedience. You don't have to expect to be perfect starting today if you give your life to Christ. But give your life to Christ and he will make your life what he wants it. So let's pray. And as we do so, silently, give your life to Christ or make your heart right with him. Lord God, Lord, we know you're the creator of the heavens and the earth and worthy of all praise and worship. And Lord, as we pray, just ask you to be with us right now and to touch hearts and speak to people and that we can know that we're aligned with you. And that as we take communion, Lord, that it can be something special, remembering what your Son Jesus did for us on that cross, allowing us to be perfect and pure in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.